Our scripture reading this morning will come from Romans chapter 4. It will begin with verse 9 and go through verse 12 of Romans chapter 4. That's on page 941 of your pew Bibles. Romans chapter 4. We'll begin with the ninth verse of the fourth chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans. Hear now the word of the Lord. Is this blessing then only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that the righteousness would be counted to them as well, and to make him the father of the circumcised who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. Thus we've read verses 9 through 12 of Romans chapter 4. Let us go to the Lord now in prayer. Merciful God and Father, we thank you. This is your holy word that you have given by your Spirit. It's inspired and inerrant and infallible, and it's for us today. Lord, bless the reading of your word. Hide it in our hearts, that it would bear fruit in our lives, and bless the proclamation of your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul is writing this letter to the church at Rome. He's never been there. He would like to come visit. And he is introducing himself and sharing the gospel that he preaches with them. And he started off by showing them in the first chapters how great the sin and misery was, not just of the Jew, but of the Gentile also. How all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And now he is speaking of how we are all saved by faith and not by works. And he is using Abraham as a case study. Abraham, the one that the Jews always pointed to say, we are children of Abraham. Father Abraham. And he's saying, let me show you how Abraham shows us that salvation is by faith and not by works. And he started off at the beginning of chapter 4 saying that Abraham was justified by faith because if it was by works, he could boast. Mentioning then Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. That it was not by works that he was made righteous, but rather by believing, by his faith in the promise. And now Paul is saying, let me show you how Abraham shows you that salvation by faith is for everyone, not just some. And he starts by reminding us that Father Abraham is the father of circumcision. Because the Jews often misused Abraham. They put their trust in him. They put their trust that they were descended from him. They said Abraham was chosen and he was given these things and we are sons of Abraham, therefore we are saved just as he was. Think about how often in the New Testament Abraham is misused by the Pharisees. John the Baptist warns the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 3, verse 9. He warns them not to say we have Abraham as our father because God could raise up the stones to be children of Abraham. Clearly this saying that John the Baptist attacks, we have Abraham as our father, was one that was often used and often quoted and was clearly around. John the Baptist felt the need to go out of his way to condemn it. The Pharisees used that very same defense in John chapter 8, verse 39. Jesus rebukes them that if they were really children of Abraham, they wouldn't be seeking to kill Jesus. In fact, you can read all of John chapter 8, a beautiful refutation of this idea that we are sons of Abraham and therefore we're saved and we don't need you, Jesus. They seem to be saved in the idea of the Jewish mind because they were biologically related to Abraham. Because they had received the sacrament that Abraham was given, and therefore they were saved, the sacrament of circumcision. We see Stephen in his defense of believing in Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 7. He starts with Abraham. And he mentions the promise that Abraham believed and obeyed the promise. He mentions circumcision in his speech in Acts 7. And the circumcision continued through his children, the patriarchs. And he concludes his speech in chapter 7, verse 51, declaring that those who were before him, the Sanhedrin, those Pharisees and Sadducees that sat in judgment, were stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. The Sanhedrin gathered in judgment consider themselves descendants from Abraham, but Stephen tells them that they don't have the right heart to be children of Abraham. That they've misunderstood circumcision, and that even though they may have the external sign, internally their heart is unchanged. And that's the problem. That Abraham had his heart changed and he believed in Jesus, and that all the patriarchs did too. But those Pharisees in front of him who had rejected and killed Jesus still stood in need of the faith of Abraham. Hebrews chapter 11. The chapter that we sometimes consider the hall of faith, where we see faith being discussed. The author of Hebrews talks about the faith of Abraham, and he stresses the faith of Abraham because that was what was important. Not circumcision, not biology. Abraham's faith. He talks of Abraham's great faith in trusting God when he answered God's call and left his homeland. He talked of Abraham's faith in believing the promise, in looking for a city whose foundations were laid not by man but by God. His faith is stressed in his willingness to trust God with Isaac's life as the chosen one when he ascended the mountain to sacrifice Isaac, saying, "The Lord will provide a lamb." We're told, even if it meant raising Isaac from the grave, Abraham had faith and believed. What we don't see in Hebrews chapter 11 is circumcision. It's not mentioned at all. Because it's not the important thing. The writer of Hebrews wants us to see Abraham had faith. And that's what saved him, not anything else. Simply his trust in Jesus Christ. Circumcision had long been misused. The Jews trusted in their law keeping and their works, and the ultimate sign of that law keeping was circumcision. It's given to them and not to the Gentile, and so for them it was a sign that set them apart. It was a sign that they were distinct. It signified their trust in their works. And the idea had bled over even to many who professed belief in Jesus Christ. We see in the early church that there was often a misunderstanding about whether one had to be circumcised to be saved. There was a party of circumcision even in the church of Jesus Christ. This was the group that opposed giving baptism to those who had not been circumcised. In Acts chapter 11, they show up pushing up against Peter for baptizing Cornelius so that he had to defend his actions before the party of circumcision. It even affected the church in Galatia, as is recounted by Paul in Galatians chapter 2. a debate that came to a head in Acts 15, where the party of circumcision, described as the party from Jerusalem, troubles Paul and Barnabas about their salvation and preaching of salvation by faith with the Gentiles. And we see there in Acts 15 that no small disagreement arose between them. And the groups went to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders to settle the matter. And the church declared that circumcision is not necessary for salvation. The church rejected the misuse and misunderstanding of circumcision and declared that salvation was by faith. And that's what the scriptures had always taught. And that this misunderstanding of salvation through circumcision was something from the Pharisees. Paul sums it up in 1 Corinthians 7:17-19, where he teaches that neither circumcision nor uncircumcision count for anything. He says it again in Galatians chapter 5, verse 2, if you accept circumcision, Christ is of no advantage for you. It's faith in Christ that matters. The real meaning of circumcision always pointed to the heart, and a heart of faith. It was never meant to be a work of salvation. It pointed to a deeper spiritual reality that your flesh profited nothing. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 4 speaks of circumcising your heart, just as Stephen had said in verse 51 of Acts 7, that they were uncircumcised of heart because they had rejected Jesus. Circumcision was always about repenting from your own works and returning to the Lord. It was always to be an outward sign that pointed to a new or changed heart. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 continues the idea when talking about being saved with a circumcision made without hands, and then links it to baptism. Links it to where the sins of the flesh are put off and being raised by faith in Jesus Christ. The circumcision of the flesh always pointed to a changing of the heart made without hands. A changing of the heart made by faith. Paul even then talks in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 16, of the dividing wall of hostility between the uncircumcised and the circumcised, how it was torn down by the life and death of Jesus Christ. Because the flesh profited nothing, and the salvation was not by works, but by faith, so that no one may boast. Paul is attacking that trust in circumcision, and he's using Abraham to destroy that trust. He says, let's look at Abraham's life. You want to point to Abraham? Let's look at Abraham. And he goes to Genesis 15:6, and he says, it was counted to him as righteousness. When was it counted to Abraham as righteousness? At the moment of his circumcision? No. It's when he believed God. When God told him, this is the promise about your children, about the seed. And Abraham believed and was counted to him as righteousness. Circumcision is still chapters off. The quote of Abraham believed God and is counted to him as righteousness is Genesis 15. It takes place before Genesis 17, where the sacrament of circumcision is finally given. Abraham is saved long before he's circumcised. Faith is unrelated to the moment of circumcision. Salvation precedes the giving of circumcision for Abraham. It doesn't come after it. The righteousness that comes from God is credited to him, given to his account, imputed to him when he believes by faith. The promise of God. That's his moment of justification. That's his moment of being made right with God. This is when Abraham has peace with God. That's the moment that matters. Faith comes before circumcision in the life of Abraham. And Paul is driving that point home, because faith is what's important. Faith is what saves. He's telling people, turn from your wicked works and believe in Jesus Christ, and that your trust in Abraham is wrong, because Abraham was not saved by works. Abraham was saved by faith. He hears the promise and believes. It's counted to him as righteousness. Prior to his circumcision, prior to the willingness to sacrifice Isaac, prior to all of those things, when the Jewish people looked back in the Old Testament, they saw the law and they saw the works and the great deeds of faith. But what they should have been looking for was the faith itself. And realizing that all of those things flowed from a heart of faith. When they looked at the willingness to sacrifice Isaac, they should have seen that it flowed out of the heart that was already regenerated. A heart that was already full of faith, that already had believed God and was counted to him as righteousness. Rather than looking at that and say, see, we're saved by our works, they should have looked at that and said, see the great faith of Abraham. But they saw only the outward actions. But Paul makes another point here in his Bible study about the life of Abraham, his Bible study of Genesis 15:6. He tells us that the fact that it's recorded before circumcision is an important point that foreshadows that Abraham is not just the father of the Jews, that he's the father of all who have faith, circumcised or uncircumcised, because he has faith and he's still uncircumcised at the moment. Verse 11, he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised. The Jews had so long pointed to Abraham and said, see, he's the beginning of the Jewish race. We're related to him. He's a Jew and you are not. And Paul is tearing all of that apart. He says, look at Genesis 15:6. Abraham is the father of all, circumcised or not, who believe in Jesus Christ. He was made right with God by his faith. It was credited to him as righteousness long before circumcision. Proof positive, Paul is saying, that being right with God is possible for the Gentile, for the uncircumcised. He's father more than of just the Jews, but the father of the uncircumcised who believe as well. The important thing to take away from looking at Abraham's life is his faith, not his work. And this is given to us so that we might remember, so that we might see. There's an application that I need to add here for our today, our situation. Paul here is pointing us to the faith of Abraham. Abraham had faith that his offspring would inherit the land and be numerous as the stars in the sky, and that one of his offspring would one day save the world from their sins. But if Abraham had trusted what was going on around him, only what he could have seen, he would have never come to that. He would have looked around and said, I'm a nomad without a permanent home. I don't even own land for a house. My wife is too old, way past childbearing age. There's no realistic possibility of any of these things that God has said actually taking place. If he had judged by what he saw around him, he would not be the same. Yet Abraham had faith in the power and the promise of God. Today, if we look around us, we do see a virus raging. The total number of sick growing, more uncertainty than anything else. But we too must be like Abraham and trust that God is in control. We may not be able to see it with our eyes, But God is in control, and He's with us. And He will care for His children and His sheep. And that all of this too will pass. We must trust the promise of Christ to be with us always, even until the end of the age, with all power and authority on heaven and earth. And we can rest in that trust as Abraham rested in his faith, despite the fact that what God said and what he saw with his eyes didn't exactly match up. But your wife will have a child. And he looks and he says, I don't understand. I don't see how it can be. But I trust. Because God said it could be. And thus it will be. We must have that faith as well. We must also ask ourselves whether we have our own modern day version of circumcision. Is there something that we trust in? Some outward action that we say, you know what, I'm safe because I did that. Do we say to ourselves, I was baptized, therefore I'm saved? I was confirmed, therefore I'm saved? I was at some revival once where I went down to the front and I answered the altar call, therefore I'm saved. Do we trust in outward things to save us? The temptation is always to trust in the outward things. I do good works. I do this, I do that. Our hope for eternal life cannot be based on our flesh and on our works. Paul is saying right here, do not trust in the outward things, even if it's a sacrament of the church like circumcision. Trust rather in Christ. Have faith in Him. Repent and believe. Then you are saved and it's counted to you as righteousness. Don't trust the outward works. Because salvation is by faith alone. It's by faith alone. Paul is going through great lengths here in this book of Romans, this introduction, this teaching of his gospel, of the gospel, to say that all men are sinners and the only way you're saved is by faith in Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There's no other way. The world will always try to tell you there are lots of paths to God. You can be right with God in many ways. We're being told here that's not true. That you are a sinner. And you have to be saved by faith through grace. There's no other way. You must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see how Paul's making this appeal here in verse 11 and 12? He's removing the ability to boast in works. Removing their ability to boast in their biology. Removing their ability to boast in their relationship to Abraham. He's pulling out all of their false idols and their false gods and he's saying, this is not true, this is not true, this is not true. You can't trust in circumcision. Don't trust in the fact you're descended from Abraham. Don't trust in any of these things. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the only way to be right with God is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham did and it was counted to him as righteousness. That's how he was saved and that's the only way that you'll be saved. If his readers still want to be right with God, if they want to have peace with the Father in heaven, if they want to have salvation and have it counted to them as righteousness, they must believe in Jesus Christ. They must share Abraham's faith to share Abraham's fate. His faith, his belief in Jesus Christ, Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, who has come into the world to save us from our sins. Paul is presenting us here a call to believe. Whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised, the call is for you. Whether you're a Jew or a Greek, a barbarian, a Scythian, an American, a European, an African, an Asian, it doesn't matter. The call is for you. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you can be saved. Abraham did. And so should you. Let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Gracious Lord in heaven, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can be saved in Him. We ask that you would give us the faith of Abraham. We ask that you would change our hearts. We ask that you would help us walk by faith in this time of trial, as Abraham walked by your promise and wandered a strange land, trusting in you. Help us walk our daily life trusting in you, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in His promise. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.